we near the end of this calendar year, I'm looking back over this year of issues, etc. Well, golly, just looking back over the last couple weeks. Very busy year. Very important year for issues, etc. as well. But we've been doing here on the program what we always do. We've added a few things, like these sermon reviews that we do every week. And we're back doing some of our ordinary stuff today in these in reviews of hymns during this hour. These are the kind of things that are genuinely unique to issues, etc. in radio. And the reason we do them, in each and every case, we kind of run by this little this little rule of thumb. All theology is Christology, is Christology. All study of God is really the study of Christ. To know, as we learned in the last hour, to know Jesus is to know God, and we cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead for sinners. It's what drives us here at Issues, etc. We're asking your for your support here at the end of this calendar year with only about a month left. We have 71 members of our Issues, etc. Reformation Club, and we'd like to push on toward 100 by year's end. We ask you to partner with us in this way. It's the Reformation Club. It's a monthly donor program. As a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, you can be our partner in the gospel outreach of Issues, etc. Now, for more details on what it is to be a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, a member of our Issues, etc. Reformation Club, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section. Or, if you have it handy, just look at page 11 of the latest Issues, etc. journal. All the details are laid out there, books, tapes, and transcripts. There are three ways to give to Issues, etc. by check. Write us at Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Online, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section, there's a way to give to Issues, etc. And you can also give via credit card and our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. If you're giving this year towards the end, consider becoming a member of our Issues, etc. Reformation Club. Pastor Henry Gehrke is our guest. We're going to be studying three hymns here at the beginning of the Advent season, the end of this week on Issues, etc. Savior of the Nations Come, one that I've been looking forward to studying, and that's The Angel Gabriel, and another hymn called O Savior, Child of Mary. Pastor Henry Gehrke is director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus, and the Concordia Seminary Chorus will be presenting a service of congregational hymns, readings, and spiritual songs for the Advent season this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. I'll be reminding you about that as our conversation goes on. Pastor Henry Gehrke, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
This first hymn, let's jump right in because we have three to do.
Right.
Savior of the Nations Come, familiar across the board to Christians. Tell us what we may not know about this hymn.
Well, this hymn comes to us from Luther, Martin Luther. He translated the hymn, and he got the hymn from St. Ambrose. Ambrose was Bishop of Milan back in the late 300s, about 375 to 389. Ambrose was a great defender of the Christian faith against the Arian heresies, the heresies that said that Christ was not a true human being. And one way to combat the heresies at that time, Ambrose started writing hymns, and we kind of recognize him as the father of hymnody, at least in the way that we think of hymnody today. And so this hymn was sung to plain song chants and so forth throughout the years. And then Luther took it. It was one of his favorite hymns. He translated it, added a doxology, a stanza that praises Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then also modified the plain song melody and just enough to fit and make it a little bit simpler, a little bit easier for the congregation to learn and use.
So he was taking something that had been used probably by the priests or the monks and bringing
right.
it into congregational
right.
singing.
Right.
All three of these hymns are different aspects of the Advent season that
right.
we began this last Sunday. What are the themes of Advent, and what should we be listening for in each of these hymns, Savior of the Nation Come, The Angel Gabriel, or Savior, Child of Mary?
Advent looks backwards to the promises of God for the sending of his son, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And then Advent also sees, looks forward to the fulfillment of those in which we celebrate as Christmas. And then it also looks forward to the very end of the very last day when Christ will come again and bring all of his saints with him to everlasting life. And in between that time, we also have the focus on Advent of the Christ coming to us in his word and in his sacraments. So all of this is the focus. And in effect, Advent is one of those seasons. It's a very short 4-week season before Christmas. And a lot of people see it as primarily as a preparation for Christmas, but it picks up all of these themes and then kind of reminds us that all of life is really kind of Advent. We are caught in between his first coming to us on earth as a child and as our Savior, and then his final coming as the judge and Lord of all.
And in this hymn that we're going to hear in just a moment, stanza one, and we're going to be listening to three stanzas, in this hymn, where do you think that emphasis, which coming is emphasized most, do you believe?
This one, it's really kind of torn because it's looking towards the end. It's saying, Savior of the nations, come, show yourself the virgin son. But it also is talking about the fact that he came to earth as our Savior, as God incarnate.
Here is stanza one of Savior of the Nations Come. Savior of the nations, come, show yourself the virgin son, marvel heaven, wonder earth, that our God chose such a birth.
Savior of the nations, come, show yourself the virgin son, marvel heaven, wonder earth, that our God chose such a birth.
It does seem torn between us presently calling for Christ to return, come Lord Jesus, the prayer that ends Revelation, and the reference back to show yourself the virgin son seems to be not just tell us about Christmas, but return again in the flesh where you bore our sins.
Right. And then the way this stanza ends, that it's calling on heaven and earth to wonder and marvel that God chose such a birth, that God, the infinite, becomes finite in the taking on our flesh and bone and becoming an infant child.
What I'm put in mind of in the first line of this stanza, Savior of the nations, and maybe I'm not making a proper connection, but we talked last week, I believe, with Pastor Will Whedon, mm-hmm. and he mentioned these ancient songs, the O Antiphons,
right,
that have different titles for Christ from the Old Testament, all put together. And the kind of the modern form of it nowadays is the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Right, right.
But there is one, Desire of Nations. In fact, it's my favorite O Antiphon, mm-hmm. Desire of Nations. Is there a reference here to that Old Testament reference?
It could very well be. Nations here, actually, the German, the way Luther has it, the Heiden, Heiland, the Heiden is the heathen. And so all of the nations are those who are not believers, all sinful flesh. And so it's reference to all of us, and Christ is our Savior.
It's now come the Savior of the heathen.
Right.
That's a little starker than Savior of the Nations come.
Right, we've taken off a few of the rough edges there. Yeah.
What would Luther have meant then if he's the one who's first translating this out of Latin, I assume.
Right.
And he's taking this word heathen. Nowadays, that sounds like people with bones through their noses dancing around fires.
But it's basically all sinful flesh, all of those who are not believers, and those who need a Savior, and that's what it's referring to there.
And then what is being asked of our Savior when it says, show yourself the virgin son?
Reveal yourself as the virgin son, the son who was born of Mary, as the one who is in our flesh and bone, and who is God incarnate, who is like us in every way, except for that he was not a sinner.
Stanza 2 of Savior of the Nations, come. Father's equal, you will win victories for us over sin. Might eternal, make us whole, heal our ills of flesh and soul.
Father's equal, you will win victories for us over sin. Might eternal, make us whole, heal our ills of flesh and soul.
Stanza 2 of Savior of the Nations, come. Pastor Henry Gehrke is with us here in Studio A during the second hour of Issues, Etc. We're studying this hymn, and in the minutes to come, also a hymn, The Angel Gabriel and O Savior Child of Mary, with Pastor Henry Gehrke, director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus. Father is equal. Is there a reference here to that famous Philippians passage?
Yes, Philippians chapter 2, where it says, Christ, who, though he was equal, did not count equality with God something, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the flesh, took on the form of a human being. Father's equal, this is just another name for Christ at this point, and he is, so it's a reference to that we see oftentimes in the creeds as well as in the Trinity and the doxology. He will win for us victories over sin. And where he wins that is on the cross with his death. And that makes us whole. Mighty eternal, there is another name for Christ. Mighty eternal, make us whole. He makes us whole. He heals our diseases, our sin. And with his forgiveness, and so therefore heal our ills of flesh and soul.
Here's a reference to the Father. In the next stanza, we're going to hear kind of a very standard doxological stanza, mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do you make of the lack of references to the Trinity in so much of popular church music nowadays, the more contemporary worship and praise music? Lots of Jesus or God in general, maybe the Spirit's tossed in there, but getting them all together in a clear reference to the Trinity seems impossible for some of the authors.
Right. I think it always impoverishes us. It makes us poorer because of that lack of emphasis on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and always on the emphasis on Christ and his work for us. With his forgiveness, his death and dying, and his resurrection for our forgiveness and our salvation.
Here is the final stanza of Savior of the Nations, come. Glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son, our King. Glory to the Spirit, be now and through eternity.
Glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son.
The final doxological stanza of Savior of the Nations, come. There are only three stanzas we've looked at here.
Right.
I take it with these ancient hymns, especially the ones that go way, way back, they usually have way more than just three.
Right. There are actually eight stanzas here. Luther added this doxology and making it kind of unique that way. We have only three stanzas on this recording, only because of time constraints, trying to get everything else in. You only have about 72 minutes to get to fill up a CD, and we were way over when we first started.
So something had to go.
Right.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Savior of the Nations, come.
Savior of the Nations, come. Show yourself. Son, marble heaven wanderer.
Savior of the Nations Come, the first of the hymns we're studying this afternoon with Pastor Henry Gehrke here on Issues, Etc. The next one, The Angel Gabriel. Before we leave this one behind, I do not want to have the listeners fail to note something you mentioned at the beginning, and that is this is an ancient hymn. This is one that comes from the true beginnings, if you will, of Christendom.
Right, and also it is one of the first examples that we have of Christian hymnody as we kind of know it today. It goes all the way back to about the late 300s.
This next hymn, The Angel Gabriel, I'll be honest with you, Henry, I first came across it not through any hymnal, but I think Sting, the pop artist, put it on one of his CDs a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And he sang a very haunting version of this. But it's really about a familiar Bible text, usually called the Annunciation. Tell us about it.
Right. This carol comes from the Basque region, which is the area between France and Spain. It also happens, I believe, to be one of the areas that is still in a lot of dispute, and there are bombings and things like that happening in that area. But Sabine Bering Gold was the one who collected this text, and he had grown up in that area for at least a year or two when he was a child, an English clergyman. He collected this, collected the melody also. He memorized the melody and then went back to England and sang it for somebody who knew how to put down the notation for it.
So he smuggled it back to England.
Right, in that way. The stanza goes back, the hymn itself goes back maybe quite a few years earlier. I'm not quite sure when, but it was originally a Latin text and then was a Basque carol based on it. Bering Gould is probably familiar to us because he wrote the text for Onward Christian Soldiers and Now the Day is Over, those two hymns. He also wrote like 30-some novels and other books, has over 100 books to his credit. But this hymn itself takes the story of the Annunciation, of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, and gives us what Gabriel said to Mary, and then Mary's response to the angel in a very shorthand way.
And it's narrative. This is somewhat unique in hymns and Christian songs, period. It is told in a narrative, even though it's stanzified, it's told in a narrative.
Right, it's very narrative. The only thing I guess you could say is that the last stanza has some application. Also, at the end of each stanza, there's the word Gloria, which is a shorthand for glory be to God on high. And so it is glory to God for what he has done through the angel Gabriel and through the Virgin Mary.
And then very briefly, this is a form, a proper form of what the Roman Church sings as Ave Maria, isn't it?
Right, right. It has its roots back in that time, right.
The first stanza of The Angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel from heaven came with wings as drifted snow, with eyes as flame. All hail to thee, O lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came with wings as drifted snow.
This is one of those, Henry, that once it's with you, it never leaves
you.
It's a very never ever
tune.
Leaves. I know it's going to be one of those that's going to be, I'll be driving home tonight humming this one.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's a little not out of tune. It's a little out of tune to the American ear or to our modern ear. for a Christmas carol or for an Advent hymn.
Right. Some people would call it a minor key. It's probably actually a little more modal, one of the early church modes that kind of borders between minor and major. You never quite find out what it is. But
is this a song about Mary or the angel Gabriel per se?
Well, in effect, it really is about neither, because as we will find out later in the stanzas, it's really about Emmanuel, and how God uses Gabriel and the Virgin Mary to accomplish his purposes.
Now, folks, let me just mention this. The second time I came across the angel Gabriel, this hymn, was about 3 years ago, I believe. And my son at the time was probably 5 years old, had just started kindergarten. And he was in his room, as he was wont to do so often when he was 5 years old, and he still is now that he's a little older, singing. He sang incessantly. And I walk by his room, not paying particular attention, because the boy sings all the time, but I hear him singing "With Wings as Drifted Snow and Eyes of Flame," and I'm thinking to myself, I've heard that someplace before. And I went in there and I said, "What are you singing?" He says, "I'm singing Gabriel." "Where did you learn this?" He said, "I learned this at school," and lo and behold, shows how much I'm up with what's going on in the family. He was going to be singing it at church the coming mm-hmm. Sunday. In fact, I think it was this very arrangement, if I'm not mistaken, that they were singing as a children's choir, and it was the children actually sang the melody while the adult mm-hmm. choir sang the I call it the backing vocals yeah. somewhere there. This is the kind of thing that teaches our children. Now, do you think my son will ever forget the tune, or more importantly, forget the story of Scripture that is told here of the angel's first word to Mary, which not only announces the birth of the Christ child, but this is the point at which God's word enters Mary through her ear so that she might conceive of the Holy Spirit, and that which is born in her womb, that which is being carried in her womb, is holy, God with us, Jesus Christ. Again, that's what it's all about here on Issues, etc. That's why we study these hymns, because all theology and all good church music is really about Jesus Christ. Pastor Henry Gehrke is our guest, director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus. When we come back, the remaining stanzas of the angel Gabriel.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, etc.
A Christmas tree, a wooden manger, a wooden cross. It's an arboreal theme that followed Jesus throughout his time on earth. And this theme is the focus of our Issues, etc. book of the month for December, titled A Tree for Christmas. It's written by popular Christian author Dandy Daly McCall. Just visit our website, issuesetc.org, for more information, or call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. A Tree for Christmas costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Gather your children and grandchildren around the Christmas tree this year and read A Tree for Christmas. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. What's the relationship between a Christmas tree and the tree of life? Find out with A Tree for Christmas, our Issues, etc. book of the month for December. 1-800-325-3040.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The Justice Department is asking the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to overturn a Nebraska court's ruling that the partial birth abortion ban is unconstitutional. The DOJ is claiming the lower court judge didn't consider evidence that late-term abortion may not be necessary. Steve Jordahl reports.
The case is the first of three appeals of lower court rulings striking down the partial birth abortion ban. Julie Schatzberger of the Thomas More Law Center says the Nebraska District Court was particularly activist in its ruling.
They basically didn't give deference to the congressional findings in the way that the Supreme Court has before said that the courts have to.
Instead, it believed doctors the abortion industry provided who claim there are advantages to partial birth abortions.
Congress, in those 9 years of findings, determined that, you know, along with many, many doctors, that there's never a case in which it's medically necessary or preferable to perform this type of abortion.
Department of Justice spokesman John Novacki told Family News in Focus they plan on defending the law that Congress passed and the president signed. Mary Spaulding Balch of National Right to Life says it's hard to say how the appeal will go.
I think that the government put on a good case, and I think the record is there for the world to see. and the question is whether or not the world is ever going to see it. The Eighth Circuit has given us some wins and given us some losses, so it's one that we have to watch to see what they do with this case.
The other cases involving bans on partial birth abortion are in the Second and Ninth Circuit courts. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
Balch says the reason all three lower court rulings went against the ban is that abortion proponents did a good job of shopping for sympathetic judges. All three lower courts have stayed the partial birth abortion ban, meaning that until the Supreme Court issues a final opinion or the stay is lifted, as many as 5,000 partially born babies will be killed each year. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
This Wednesday night, December 8th at 7 p.m., experience comfort and joy with your friends from AM 850 KFUO. Hi, this is Paul Clayton. Join me and some very talented recording artists and Grandpa Jim for the concert at the Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens, located at 8749 Watson Road. Oh, and by the way, the new Comfort and Joy CD is available through our website at KFUO.org. Be at Lutheran Church of Webster Gardens this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for Comfort and
What's
Joy.
What's the relationship between a Christmas tree and the tree of Calvary? Issues Etc. and Concordia Publishing House are pleased to offer a children's book this month. It's titled A Tree for Christmas. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a synopsis of A Tree for Christmas under the What's New section of our website at issuesetc.org. Looking for a stocking stuffer? How about a tree for Christmas?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying these hymns, Savior of the Nations Come. We listen to that one in the last segment, and we're in the middle of the Angel Gabriel. These are all Advent hymns, and then one that is a little more of the Christmastide, and that is Savior, Child of Mary. Pastor Henry Gehrke is our guest. Now, while we study these Advent hymns, I have a great Christmas gift idea for your young children and your grandchildren. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. You might have heard about it yesterday, A Tree for Christmas. This book, beautifully illustrated, but also wonderfully Christ-centered, traces this theme of trees and wood throughout the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's for children. It's also for adults. $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday. You have about 20 minutes to do so today and ask for A Tree for Christmas for your kids, your grandkids, whoever it might be, for yourself, $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040, or go to our website to find out more under the What's New section, issuesetc.org. You'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, A Tree for Christmas. Get it for your kids, your grandkids, neighbor kid down the street that won't leave you alone. Give them a few minutes to sit down, not only to learn about what this theme is, but as I said, since it is so Christ-centered, to hear the message not only of Christmas, but of the cross as well in this book, A Tree for Christmas. Henry, before we go on here, tell us a little bit about this upcoming service. It says of congregational hymns, readings, and spiritual songs for the Advent season at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis at the chapel.
Right. It is our evening prayer for Advent. We have a tour group of about 20 singers that are going out on tour the weekend of December 10th through the 12th, and they are doing the service here in the chapel on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. They will lead the evening prayer. The congregation will participate in the hymns. We will also be doing the service on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock up at Salem Lutheran Church in Blackjack. So we've got two opportunities here in St. Louis.
But can anyone attend?
Everybody's invited. Anybody can attend, and we certainly welcome them.
And folks, the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus is located right here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Just look for Luther Tower. When you see Luther Tower, look off to your left as you drive onto the campus at 801 DeMunn, and you'll see the chapel there. There's plenty of seats for everyone. It's 3 o'clock this Sunday afternoon at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Stanza 2 of this hymn, The Angel Gabriel. For know, a blessed mother thou shalt be, All generations laud and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
For Noah, blessed mother, thou shalt be. All generations laud and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady.
This is one of those stanzas that contains, it's telling this in a different way, but it contains a very familiar phrase, all generations laud and honor thee. Or I don't know if it's the angel or if it's Mary who says, all generations henceforth shall call you blessed.
Mary is the one who actually says that in her Magnificat. And here the words are assigned to the angel Gabriel. And in a way, when you take a folk carol and then you have six or more stanzas and you reduce it all to four, some things get kind of mishmashed together and or telescoped, and but the basic message is still there. In this stanza, we've got the angel saying that, Mary, you are going to be the mother of our Lord, and his name will be Emmanuel. And even that is picked up, is taken from the story of the angel speaking to Joseph. And that's where we hear about Emmanuel.
And it's also taken from the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, right.
To the prophet speaking to what King Ahaz.
Ahaz, right.
This is pulling a lot of things together.
Right. And so all of this kind of comes collapsing in on our memories or crowding in. And so at any one point, we can kind of pick up on any of this through the scripture.
The refrain line here that occurs in every stanza, most highly favored lady, Gloria, this is so often misunderstood that we are somehow honoring Mary herself for no other reason than that she's Mary.
Right. Here it is just being as another way of addressing Mary, saying, you are a favored lady because God has favored you. And this is what we want you to know, that you're going to be the mother of our Lord.
Stanza 3 of the angel Gabriel. And here's where the narrative picks up again. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head. To me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall laud and magnify God's holy name, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head, to me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall laud and magnify God's holy name, most highly favored lady.
Stanza 3. A couple things here, Henry. She actually gets to sing the Magnificat in this hymn as well as the Ave Maria, the angel as well as Mary's song.
Right. Here we just have basically the first line or two of the Magnificat as kind of representative of the whole song that Mary sings in Luke chapter 1. But my soul shall laud and magnify his holy name. That his there is referring back to God. God is the one who has done great and holy things for Mary as well as for the whole human race. And so she simply says yes to God's promise here because of the Holy Spirit working in her heart, the faith.
Now, there's something different in this stanza if you're paying attention to the quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
In the previous stanzas, this refrain line, most highly favored lady, is assigned to the angel Gabriel. And in this one, it's assigned to no one. It's not coming out of Mary's mouth because quotation marks in there. It's in our mouths now.
Right. And that this picks up on what Mary had said, that all generations would call her blessed. And so one way we do that is just simply say, Most Highly Favored Lady, Gloria, and here meaning glory to God. We thank God for her.
So we give thanks to Mary because God favored her to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Or actually we give thanks to God for using Mary to as his instrument of bringing his son into the world.
Then stanza four of this Annunciation Advent Magnificat hymn, the angel Gabriel. Of her, Emmanuel, the Christ was born in Bethlehem all on a Christmas morn, and Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, Most Highly Favored Lady, Gloria. This last stanza really just tells the Christmas story, doesn't it?
Right. And it's pointing to that celebration of Christmas that our Advent is also preparation for.
There's an element here, too, that I find common in Christmas hymns and in some of the more famous carols, and that is this whole notion of Christian folk throughout all the world. God rest ye merry gentlemen has this kind of a thing where the present day celebration of the historic fact of Christ's incarnation is talked about in the hymns among God's people.
Right, that it is just a wondrous thing that God would even consider becoming a human being, and this is enough to make it possible for us to keep singing about it and to talk about it and to tell others about it.
Now this last hymn that we're going to be looking at, O Savior Child of Mary, tell us a little bit about this one. I'm not familiar, I don't think I'm familiar with it.
Well, the O Savior Child of Mary, it comes from one stanza of the hymn, Lo, How a Rose is Growing, or Blooming. And this is one of the last stanzas of that hymn. And so the choir is going to be singing that in the background. And against that is another stanza being sung by a soloist. And this soloist is singing a stanza by a hymn writer called Paul Gerhardt, who was a Lutheran pastor who wrote about 120 hymns back in the early 1600s and was a great witness for his faith and for his Lord, by what he was willing to suffer. He suffered loss of job, illness, suffered the death of his children and his wife, all of this, and yet kept bringing that the heart of his faith was there and in Christ Jesus, and that was always what he was expressing.
Now we're going to be hearing both that final stanza?
Both of them at the same time.
Overlaid one another.
Right. And in the background, you're going to be hearing, O Savior, Child of Mary, who felt all human woe. O Savior, King of Glory, who triumphed o'er our foe. Bring us at length, we pray, to the bright courts of heaven and into endless day. And occasionally, some of those lines will be sung all by themselves as it plays out together there.
Why did you lay these two together on top of one another for this recording?
These two texts, I thought, fit very well together, kind of commentary on each other. And also this picks up on an idea of that Paul Montz, one of my teachers over the years, had in one of his preludes where he kind of combines these two also. And I said, well, why don't I try writing a setting that would do something similar to it? And so the Paul Gerhardt text, I think, is one of the great gems. In fact, it's actually almost, I think, a little bit better in translation than it was in the original German, because he doesn't quite, the original German doesn't have all of this. But love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace, in love all love excelling, our lost and fallen race. And so that ties in with the one, the Savior who felt all human woe and who triumphed o'er our foe. And he's the one who brings us to heaven.
Let's hear this together. And then, after we have heard and talked about this, O Savior, Child of Mary, we will hear the entire hymn, The Angel Gabriel, in its entirety, and O Savior, Child of Mary, in its entirety as well. O Savior, Child of Mary. I got to say, Henry, I'd have to go back and listen to that again. We'll hear it again in just a moment, but I have to listen to that again because there's a lot in there. You just crammed not only a lot of good teaching and theology in there, but to listen to both of these at the same time, both familiar, requires more than one listening. What's the basic gist of these two set side by side before we hear all three of these hymns?
Well, these two texts, I think, point us to the last day, Christ coming, and the reason why we will be able to stand before Christ in the bright courts of heaven and into endless day is only because of his love for us that caused his incarnation that brought him down to us. So this, I think this hymn, these two stanzas tie all of Advent very well together because it looks... They look back to the promises, to the fulfillment of Christ's birth here on earth, and then gives us the basis on which we can approach the last day when Christ will come again and approach that last day without fear because he has loved us.
That's really what the Advent season is about, folks. We're going to hear all three of these hymns, Savior of the Nations, Come, The Angel Gabriel, we've studied all three of these, and the final hymn that we will hear again, O Savior, Child of Mary.
Savior of the nations, come, show yourself a virgin son, marvel heaven, wonder earth, that our God chose such a Father's equal you will win, victory.
Pastor Henry Gehrke, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc. and for bringing these three hymns to us.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Pastor Henry Gehrke is director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus, and the Concordia Seminary Chorus will be presenting a service of congregational hymns, readings, and spiritual songs for the Advent season this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in Clayton. Now, each of these hymns that we've been studying during this hour have been recorded on a new CD called Gentle Stranger, Music of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. And the group is Laudamus of the Seminary Chorus under the direction of Pastor Henry Gehrke. This is a great new CD. And for anyone here at the end of the year who makes a gift to Issues, etc., of $50 or more during the month of December, we will send you this CD, Gentle Stranger, Music of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. As a bonus, if you look in the liner notes, you get an entirely original introduction by a regular guest here on the program, the Reverend Dr. Norman Nagel. He writes the introduction to the CD and a bonus track at the end. $50 or more during the month of December, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll send you a copy of Gentle Stranger, or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Go to our website as well. You can donate there as well. For $50 or more, we'll send you a copy of Gentle Stranger by Laudamus of the Concordia Seminary Chorus under the direction of Henry Gehrke. Issuesetc.org is the website. Look under the What's New section. 1-800-737-0172 is the number again. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor David Runyon Bareford about this new advertising campaign of the UCC.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.